Wasn't that a blessing? Let's just praise the Lord. Thank God for that truth. Amen. So many things happen we don't understand, and yet He's always faithful to us, and He's brings us through. But more than that, we get closer to Him. Awesome. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Joel. I thought I was through with Joel, but I missed a little something that God put an urge in my heart about this week, and I want to share it with you. If you'll find the chapter 3 and verse 16, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? And it's a wonderful passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. Joel chapter 3 and verse 16. And I'm going to read a verse of the book of Revelation. I want to ask you to turn there, but I'm going to read a verse there in just a few minutes. This morning, Brother Barry, again, the Holy Ghost of God used to bring a wonderful lesson. And down near the end was the emphasis about John the Baptist and how when he saw Jesus who had come in the flesh, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." We love Him because of His sacrifice. We love Him because He loved us. We love Him because He came that we might have everlasting life. He gave His life a ransom and died that we might be saved. And we preach Christ risen again. And we're glad that He's alive. And we preach that message that He's the Lamb of God. And Barry emphasized in the very beginning of this morning the truth that was in my heart. And I like Brother LaVon last week, my heart was skipping a beat every now and then, rejoicing because what Barry was saying was what God's laid on my heart for today. We love Him. Don't we love Him? Say amen. Amen. Isn't He gracious and merciful and kind and loving? He is all those things. But He is holy and He is just. And so I want to read to you a verse that I preached from the other night, and that I believe God spoke to our hearts about in chapter 3, verse 16 in Joel. "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens of the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of His people and strengthen the children of Israel." Here is the Lord Jesus Christ pictured for us. He is the hope of His people and the strength of His children, Israel. But I skipped over something I shouldn't have skipped over, in God's timing. Look at the first part of that verse again. The Lord shall roar. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But one day, the Lamb will roar. With that said, I want to read to you Revelation chapter number 5 and verse 5. "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals." Isn't it interesting that the Lamb is the Lion, and one day the Lion will roar. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray God the Holy Ghost would help me right now. I pray God, thank You for the wonderful singing this morning, the special music, the congregational singing, for Ms. Jennifer playing so beautifully again this morning. Thank You for the choir, God, for the anointing on them. And Lord, do help us in our heart, in our spirit, and in every way to turn our eyes upon Jesus. And if we'll do that, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. Now, Father, I know that there on the sound of my voice, people, our Father, who are perplexed. I thank You for giving Brother Ricky the song, that sometimes things don't go like we think they ought to, or at least like we want them to. But God, You do have a purpose. And God, even in all of our trouble, You're there. You said when we go through the fire, the flame would not kindle upon us. And God, though we may go through times of testing and trial and suffering, You will stay with us through it all. And God, we know You have a purpose beyond our understanding. But God, we also know that not only for us individually, but for this world, You have a plan. And it's on time. Everything's just right. And God, I pray You'd help us this morning to catch a glimpse of that, grasp that. And God, I pray, God, that you would speak to hearts now in this day and hour. And God, speak to those who may not know you, that they would be ready. And God, that they would trust Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are saved, help us to be ready. Help us not to have anything between our soul and the Savior. And be our Father up to date in everything you want us to do. Now, Lord, have your way, and I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I ran across this verse and began to speak to my heart, the Lord shall roar. And then I see it in the book of Revelation. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Do you ever wonder like I do? I may be the only one feels this way. Have you ever wondered why in the world God don't quit or stop all of this wickedness in the world? Have you wondered why he hadn't judged already? I mean, he did it before. The Bible said in Noah, we're going to go see the ark in a few weeks. And during the days of Noah, the Bible said that every thought, every imagination of their heart was only evil continually. And God said, the end of all flesh has come before me, and I will destroy everything in whose nostrils is the breath of life. In that day, the God of mercy and grace and long-suffering judge sin in that generation. Then I think about Sodom and Gomorrah. They were wicked, and they committed all types of sin, sexual perversion, and all those things. But yet, when you look at it, it talks about their pride. And I had somebody one time years ago to say, God didn't judge them because of homosexuality, he judged them because of pride. No, he judged them because of their sin, of their pride, of their sin. They were proud that they were sinners, and they were proud of it. And I found that in other places in the Scriptures, how that they were not ashamed. Their faces were not ashamed. And they took pleasure in their sin, and they acknowledged their sin. They were proud of their sin. And God says to Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he goes down the list, and he wants, if there's this many and this many and this many, and finally 10. He said, if you can even find 10 righteous people in that whole town, I'll not destroy it. But they were not there. And fire fell from heaven, brimstone, and destroyed everything. God's patience ran out. Have you ever wondered why now in almost 2,000 years, his patience hadn't run out? Well, we're living in what's now called the age of grace, the dispensation of grace. And God is extending grace to the Jew and to the Gentile now. And you can be saved by grace through faith. Grace is God giving us something we do not deserve. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. And yet, in this auditorium and in the internet, there are hundreds of people who by grace have been saved. God forgave them of all of their sin through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful thing. And yet, even as a saved person, I want to get the gospel to everybody, but I look around and I hear of things, horrible, hideous things and just wicked things. And why does God not just send judgment? Well, let me say in the beginning, I do believe at this point in time, God is beginning to pour out judgment. These are what the Bible calls the beginning of sorrows. To us, the world is in chaos, but he's got everything under control. Everything's right on time. But there is coming another time in history, just like in the days of Noah, just like in Sodom and Gomorrah, when it comes to an end. It's called the Day of the Lord. I preached on that. But this thought got in my heart about the Lion, or the Lamb beginning to roar. He extends grace now, but one of these days, he's going to roar like a lion, and he's going to bring judgment on earth. And here's the amazing thing. In this little book of Joel, three chapters, only three chapters, God shows him down through the ages, now over 2,800 years ago, at least, he shows him what was going to happen in the end time. He did not show him the church. He didn't show him the rapture. We have seen that wonderful mystery. Paul talked about the mystery of the church being revealed, that we are the body of Christ, and in this age, both Jew and Gentile, that they can come to know Christ and be saved. But here, he sees beyond even that. And what does he see? He sees when the Lamb begins to roar. When is he going to do that? When is all this going to happen? Prophetically, the next thing on your timetable is in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We quote it all the time, and you know it's real. God has a timetable. And very soon now, he's coming back for his bride. The Lord himself's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. That is, their bodies are going to be resurrected. Then we, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, will be changed. This mortal will put on immortality, this corruptible incorruption. And we'll be caught up in a brand new body to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. That's the rapture of the church. And then according to Daniel chapter 9, there's a time that's fixing to happen. And it could happen this year. It could happen beginning today if the rapture occurs, of what's called the tribulation period and what takes place. Joel sees that in his little book. Look with me, please, if you will, in chapter number 2 and verse number 11. In chapter 2 and verse 11, he says this, "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, and for his camp is very great. For he is strong and executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and terrible, and who can abide it?" Now, if you go to the parallel reference in the book of Revelation, in chapter 16, he tells you the fulfillment of that prophecy in Revelation chapter number 16. Listen to what he says at verse number 14 of this wonderful book of Revelation. "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of Almighty God." He said, there's coming a day, verse 16, "and he gathereth them into the place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." The spirit of wickedness draws all nations. What's going on in Afghanistan? There's coming a time when there'll be a confederacy of all the world powers to come against little Israel. And that's got to be to where those people are anti-Semitic, anti-American. We are the only supporters really worldwide right now. And so there'll be an affiliation of the Russians, the Germans, the Turkish armies, all the Arab nations, they're come against little Israel. And Joel sees that. But it says of the Lord that his band is great. Boy, I love that. He said that the Lord's army, God's army, and he is the one in charge. All the forces of the world are going to come against him. And then you see in chapter number 11, chapter 2 of this little book, we see as they gather together, he brings them all in that one place, this great battle of Armageddon takes place. If you look to Revelation chapter number 19, verses 11 through 21, you'll see that awesome destruction. You'll see what God's going to do. Let me read a little bit of that to you here in this judgment. God draws all these nations. Now, this is what's happening. They're aligning themselves right now. They're anti-U.S., but more than anything else behind the scenes, they're all anti-Semitic. They're all anti-Jew. And they're going to be drawn into the battle of Armageddon. And in chapter 19 of Revelation, in verse number 11, "And I saw the heaven open, and a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war." This is the Lamb of God. This is when the Lamb begins to roar. This is when he said, enough is enough. This is when he deals with all the sin, all the wickedness, all the corruption, and he begins to judge and make war. His eyes are as flames of fire. On his head are many crowns, and he hath a name written that no man knew but himself, and is clothed in the vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. By the way, this is after the rapture. That's me and you. How many horse riders do we have in here? Raise your hand. You're like me. There's not very many. Miss April, she may be watching us today. Miss April Pope, she loves horses. And I used to say, I think horses make beautiful pictures and fine dog food. But that made her so mad. I've had some really bad experiences with horses over the years. I've repented of all that. I really have. I like horses. But I've never been a white horse rider, Brother John, until that day. You ever wondered who that crowd is coming back with him? That's us. We're going to be caught up together to meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If we're ever going to be with him, if he's taking us out into the rapture, and at some point in time at the end of the tribulation, he's coming back, if we're going to be with him forever, it means we're coming back. It means we're going to be riding on a horse. Some of you might have to have a horse with a sidecar, you know, so you can ride. But we're coming back. And he's coming back. And what's he going to do? He's going to defeat all the... Now, you get this in your mind. It's hard for me to comprehend. All the enemies of God all around the whole world, you name them, country after country, group after group, whatever, all the enemies of God and the enemies of Israel, he's going to defeat them in this one day, in the great battle of Armageddon. And what an awesome day it's going to be. And notice what it says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. Here's the Lamb that now is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he's roaring, and he tramples underfoot, and it's the fierce wrath of Almighty God. And he hath a name on his vesture and his thigh written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And what an awesome thing. And I saw an angel stand upon the sun and cry with a loud voice, saying to the fowls in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together to the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshiped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. And the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Ultimate destruction. That's when the lion roars. Now listen to me. All the enemies of God, all those who have lived wickedly, rejected gospel, there's coming a time when it all come to a head in a place called Armageddon. And God will judge. The Lamb will roar. He said he would roar out of his place. And what an awesome thing that is. What's the result of that? Back in the little book of Joel, in chapter 2 and verse 12, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning and rend your hearts and not your garments and return unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering for the Lord. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify fast, call a solemn assembly. He's looking now in time. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders and the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom pour forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to the reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among them, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil and shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make your approach among the heathen. And he goes on and talks about the blessings of the Lord and how that he'll be there and the land will be glad and rejoice. In that statement, he's looking down through time. It's repeated in the book of Jeremiah and in other places and in Zechariah where Israel turns in repentance. What's going to happen? He's going to pour out his spirit upon them, the Bible says in Joel chapter 2 and verses 28, and they'll look on him whom they pierced and they'll mourn. Who was it that they pierced? Who was it that they pierced that they ought to be mourning for? Who was it that they rejected? Who was it when he said, what shall I do with Barabbas? They said, give us Barabbas. And how about this man named Jesus? They said, crucify him. crucify him, crucify him. But now, all these years since, one of these days, when he sends judgment, when all the nations of earth are coming against little Israel, they're helpless, they can't do a thing about it, God comes in his mighty power with his saints and he defeats and destroys them, then Israel will turn to the Lord. There's going to be a great outpouring of the Spirit of God and they will repent. There'll be a great gathering of Israel from around the world. They're going to rejoice in the nations. It's going to be a blessed, wonderful time when the lion does roar and when he does that. In Joel chapter 3, he talks about the wonderful thing of the kingdom being set up, the millennial reign of Christ, and the Jews will once again have their land. And from then on, no more sin. Jerusalem shall be holy. It's going to be an awesome time, a wonderful time. And when we go back to the book of Zechariah, I want to just share this with you in this wonderful Old Testament book of Zechariah. In chapter number 14, let me look at verse number 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst, and I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. The same thing. It's repeated over and over again. It's going to happen just as sure as I'm standing here. It's Fox News today that's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen. They all come against Israel. But he said, I'm going to be the one orchestrating the whole thing. I'm going to gather them all together. And all the nations shall come against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, the horses riot, and the women ravaged. And half of the city shall go into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought the day of battle. And his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, which is between Jerusalem on the east and the Mount of between Jerusalem on the east and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. Oh, listen. And he says this is going to happen. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, and the valley and the mountains shall reach unto Hazael, and ye shall flee like as ye fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all his saints with him. Isn't that interesting? Here in the book of Zechariah, he's describing that battle. And he said, the Lord's coming, and all of his saints with him. Now, where are they coming from? He's already told us that he's going to come out of glory. He's coming out of heaven, and all the saints are going to come with him. That's me and you. Praise God. Listen, you're going to get to see this. You're going to get to be there. We stood in that great valley with Brother Ralph, and we stood there and looked, and he said, you'll be back here one of these days. One of these days you'll be here. But then you're coming back with him. You're coming back on a white horse, and we'll all be here. And I, man, listen, it's real. You say, Brother Billy, you really believe that stuff just as sure as I'm standing here? Just as sure as I'm standing here, he's got everything well in hand. And all this turmoil you see, all the hatred and all the bitterness toward Israel and how they want to destroy him, it's only going to build until he puts hooks in their jaws, until he begins to pull them into that land. And there will be this ultimate battle, and he's coming back with all of his saints. And what a blessing it's going to be when he judges the world and all of his saints. But I'll skip down to verse number 8 now. Listen to this. And it shall be in that day that the living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half toward the former sea and half toward the hinder sea, and the summer and the winter shall be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and in that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. There's coming a day when he brings all this to a head. He judges all the enemies of God in the great battle of Armageddon and all those events. He sets up his kingdom on this earth, and he'll be the ruler of the whole world. The one who loved you, the one who clothed himself in a human body, and suffered and bled and died. The Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world, the one that you bowed to at home in Sunday school, vacation Bible school, Awanas, in revival and camp meeting, in church service, the one that you bowed and said, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me. I want you to know that Lamb of God one day will roar. One day he'll defeat all the enemies of God. One day he'll set up his kingdom on this earth, and he'll be ruler, the Bible said, of the whole world. And his saints are coming with Him. We're going to get to be, I don't deserve to be there. I deserve to be in hell. I don't deserve to get to see any of that. But because He loved me, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. But I'm a little bit like Brother Barry. There's a little bit in me that wants to see God made God. I want to see every knee bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. I want them to know who He is. And He said, in that day, they'll know I am the Lord. When the Lamb roars, now I'm going to tell you something. He was down on that cross, and He could have called 10,000 angels to take Him off the cross, and He wouldn't. You remember when Peter was in the garden, He was going to defend Him with a sword. He said, no, this is God's plan. This is the Father's plan. He said, I could call a legion of angels. I could incinerate this whole crowd if I wanted to. But that wasn't His plan. His plan was that you and I have this space to repent, this time for me and you to get saved. And the one who saved you, loved you, so gently drew you by His grace, the one who convicted your heart and saved you and relieved every, and forgave all of your sin, one of these days you'll see that Lamb and He'll roar like a lion. And He'll be the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and He'll defeat all the armies of the world, establish His kingdom, and rule and reign. And twice I read to you in the Old Testament where He said His saints were coming with Him. I wonder what they thought when they read that. Who are those folks that's coming? Who are those saints that's coming with it? I'll tell you who it is. It's me and you. Those who were redeemed by the blood, washed in the Lamb, now clothed in His righteousness. We're His bride, washed in the blood, and thank God for it. No wonder John Newton wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. It is amazing that a God like that, a God who at His strategic time when He's ready, He's going to defeat and destroy all the enemies of God and of Israel at the Battle of Armageddon. And He's going to bring us with Him just to watch. We'll get to watch what He does. Thank God for that millennial reign. He'll reign on this earth and be the Lord of all the earth. That's when the Lamb roars and they recognize Him and they know who He is. Israel will repent. The rest of the world will blaspheme Him and be judged. Right now, we live in what's called the age of grace. Right now, anybody in this building, anybody in the sound of my voice that would turn from their sin and turn to the Savior and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. You'd be ready. You'd be ready. When He comes back, He's coming back just for those who've been saved, washed in the blood, to take Him out in the rapture. And then all hell breaks loose on earth. You say to me now, Brother Billy, you said, I haven't said all that. I might believe that's going to be true. It might be going to happen. And as soon as the rapture occurs and Jesus comes and takes the saints out, then I'm going to get saved. No, you won't. Because the Bible said, 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, God shall send them strong delusions that they might believe the lie, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth. So you right now have got a little window to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. If you don't, there's no such thing as a second chance after the rapture of the church. If you've ever heard the gospel, those who did not believe but took pleasure in unrighteousness, those who chose not to accept Christ, you don't go to hell because of your sin. You go to hell because you didn't trust Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Will you bow your heads for just a moment of prayer? We'll have some music. Brad may sing a verse. You say, Brother Billy, do you get upset, anxious, worried? No, not so much. Hardly ever get worried, hardly ever. I have a burden for my friends and family and all the sick, praying for them, trusting God for them. I have more of a tendency to get angry at what I see, and it just rises up in me. And I tend to be kind of like those under the altar in Revelation. Lord, how long? How long before You will avenge the blood of all those who died for You? how long before you'll judge sin. But I'm telling you right now, there's a day coming when the lion of the tribe of Judah will roar and the whole world will be shaken. It's coming. If you're saved, what a wonderful thing. No, you're not going to go to hell. What a wonderful thing that you are going to go to heaven. What a wonderful thing that you'll be delivered from the great wrath to come, and that you'll be a spectator in the greatest battle in all the whole world, because He is your Savior and Lord. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, you say, "Brother Billy, what must I do?" Bible said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Salvation is a free gift. He came unto his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Right now you can receive him. In your heart, will you turn to him? Will you believe that Jesus loved you, died for you, was buried, rose again, and bore your sin on that cross and paid the sin debt, and he extends to you an invitation. Whosoever will may come. Will you come to him right now? Will you return from your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? In the media audience and here in this building, I'd suggest you do it right where you're standing at right now. You may not have till you get to this altar, but I invite you to come publicly. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, I believe if you ask Him in your heart, I believe if you really believe on Him, you'll want to confess Him. Heavenly Father, I pray now that God, that men and women, boys and girls who don't know Christ in the media audience and in this building, that God, they would know that Jesus is their Savior and Lord. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, Father, I pray that they would turn from their sin and turn to you and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now while they have time before it's too late. God, for those of us who are saved, I pray, God, that you'd help us to understand that everything's right on time, right on schedule, that you got everything well in hand. And God, we don't understand your plan all the time, but like Ricky sang about this morning, we don't understand your will all the time, but we know you love us and you're faithful to us and you're going to be with us through it all. But God, I'm looking on down through this age and through this time, to that time, our Father, when all the sin's going to be judged, all the enemies, God, defeated, and you'll rule and reign on this earth. And then in the new heaven, new earth for all eternity, sin will be no more. There'll be no more sickness, no sorrow, pain. Lord, in that time, God, I pray people will be ready to trust you. God, help us as believers to do what you've asked us to do in this time, and that is to preach the gospel to every creature and to warn them and invite them, plead with them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God, thank you for this day. Now help people to obey you.